CRMS is really sort of a scoring mechanism that looks at a variety of factors and gives you a score based on some analytics of what your system looks like, taking into a variety of factors. One of those factors is continuous scanning of your environment to say, what's your application look like relative to STIG findings or to AIVA implementations, other things like this. But what CRMS really drives you to is that constant awareness where you're constantly looking, you're constantly evaluating, and you're looking at things from a slightly different perspective. You're not just saying, how many Cat 1s do I have? You're really saying, well, when I look at it from, I've got one Cat 1, but I've got a Cat 2 and a Cat 3 over here that when combined together is more problematic than a Cat 1. So from a risk perspective, which is of more importance to me? And so those become some of the trade-offs that CRMS and some of the tools like ACAS are starting to give us the capability to do is to see how those things come together and look at it differently.
Can you give me a sense of how long you guys have been using this scoring approach?
We're on the front edge of implementing this capability. The scanning capability, we use a tool called ACAS, which replaces our retina scanning. And we're working through right now what's the best way to implement it, how to most effectively generate reports out of it so people can get access to the reports quickly and understand what they mean and then take action against that. And then that flows up into CRMS. So we're really working through those dynamics right now to figure out how to most optimally use things and build our ConOps and TTPs around the tools so we know what kind of information we can get out of it and what's the value of it. And then bringing that into CRMS, start to understand the context of things that says, okay, how is my capability more secure or less secure over a period of time with sort of the context associated with it? So you really see at any given point in time, what's the posture of your application from a variety of factors, not just how many Cat 1 issues do you have?
Will this information be presented in a dashboard fashion and given to the program folks, given to the senior executives? Do we know how that's going to work yet?
So we're working through that, but the bottom line is we want it to provide the data to the maximum set of users as possible. So whether you're a PM or you're a hosting activity or you're the management structure that needs to understand the security posture of an environment, everybody needs to be able to see what that information is and do that in a way that's consistent and everybody is looking at the same data so that it is consistent, it's reliable, it's understandable. But we may have different views based on what your position is. As an example, an executive may want just the high-level roll-up that gives you that picture, whereas a program manager wants to understand the more detailed specifics of it so that they can understand what actions they need to take place.
Is this something that's just happening at DISA, or is this something that's happening DoD-wide? I know from your perspective, you just care about DISA per se, but is this a service that DISA is maybe starting to offer, and you're the first one out of the gate?
It is taking off across the department, so the services are implementing, and to what degree they're at, if you will, I really don't know. But it's a more DoD focused approach as opposed to just a DISA approach.
You made some, I think, interesting points to start off with about centralization, standardization, and accountability. Let me start with the broader view of that in the sense of how do you make those three things happen?
We really have to work together as a community because it's not just one group that has responsibility for everything. So from an agency perspective, it's a function of working across the entire agency footprint that takes into account the IA side of the equation, it takes into account the application developer side, it takes into account the security implementation guides. It's basically a full team effort to look at what's the right approach, what's the right architecture, what's the right security that goes around that architecture, and what's that architecture that folks can build to that is most supportive of how we want to do business going forward. And when you have that dialogue up front, then you're able to start driving things into a more standard approach. You have a better understanding of what it's going to look like from a security perspective, and it's easier to monitor, maintain, and to operate in the long run. If you do it that way, there's lots of pros to that. if you do it in an ad hoc fashion where all you do is look at one aspect of the issue, if you just look at security without thinking about the architecture, you don't think about implementation of the operation, etc., you may be very secure, but it becomes very problematic in the sustaining function of the application. So whether we're talking about application we develop within the agency as well as applications that are from outside the agency that come into the data centers, we do try to talk to them as much as possible early on in the cycle of development so that we try to inject some of these points and say, here's the architecture you can expect to fall in on, here's the security, here's the features you need to be aware of, so they build that capability into their equation up front as opposed to having to bolt it on afterwards, which creates issues by itself.
And a lot of the things you talked about just struck me around, for instance, the Joint Information Environment, the GIE, or the JRSS from a security standpoint. Is that a reason of why DoD maybe is also heading down that path?
You had capability scattered throughout the entire environment at every level. And every level was managed differently, configured differently, different priorities, and not everything was the same. And so it was very hard to understand what the network looked like, how to defend it, how to operate it, how to make it efficient. You could develop a capability that would run across the entire environment and it would work in one post camp and station. It wouldn't work in another because one firewall setting was different in one than the other. And so what JIE really is about is sort of bringing that environment into one perspective and say, we want to understand it as a joint IT environment that you can ride on, you can leverage, you can understand. And one piece of that is the JRSS. It says, here's what that security piece is going to look like, so that it is bringing a lot of that security boundary out of the post-camp and station and bringing it up to an intermediate level so that you reduce that footprint, you standardize, you consolidate, and you reduce the number of touch points that you've got to worry about from a security perspective.
Toward the end of your speech today at the FCA Cyber Conference, there was a question around commercial cloud, and I know there was a new memo coming from the DoD CIO, Mr. Halverson, but generally speaking, when you guys are looking at commercial cloud from a DISA perspective, there are things that people need to consider, whether it's in a new memo or not. Talk a little bit about, because the accountability, the standardization, the centralization all play that same role, whether you go to a commercial cloud or, as you said, you go to a mill cloud. From your perspective, are there things that just have to go into that conversation that maybe sometimes agencies overlook a little bit?
The conversation is appropriate whether you're talking commercial cloud or mill cloud. It's really the idea of how are you going to take your application that you've had running in a particular location for however long, a year, 5 years, 10 years, and how are you going to pull that out and move it into a new environment, whether that's in the commercial cloud or a mill cloud. The program manager and the owner of the application and the functional owners need to fully understand what that application is and what services and other interfaces it has. Right now, I think many application owners just think about, okay, well, let me just stand up a virtual CPU, a virtual data center, and put my application in it, and life is good. We are up and running in 5 minutes. Without thinking through all the second, third order effects. And what we're seeing right now is people talk about, as we talk to them about moving to mill cloud or commercial cloud, is they don't always think about what are the back end services that hosting facility is providing or they have within their environment, but their program isn't responsible for, but they have a reliance on. And they need to think about what those things are so that as they talk about coming into that cloud environment, they're bringing all of the infrastructure and back-end resources necessary to ensure that application is going to run. And so questions like, if I move into the commercial cloud, who's going to provide the Active Directory? Do I do that myself? Do I have to bring it in? Does somebody else within the service provide that? Who's going to provide the network defense for these capabilities? Is it going to be provided by the hosting activity? Do I have to bring my own? It's those sort of things that are sort of the bubble that surrounds the application that tends to be more holistic than just the application, and they leverage. And as you move to the cloud, how do you bring that bubble along with the application so you really get a true apples to apples understanding of what it's going to take, both in terms of time, complexity, and cost, to take this capability that's been running in this environment for 5 years and then move it into this commercial space or into this mill cloud space and say, oh, okay, well, I know I've got to stand up the application, but I know I also got to make sure I've got an identity management service. I know I've got to have some type of CNDSP capability. I know I've answered all those other associated questions and built that into that approach. And I think as we go along, people are going to get more experience with that scenario, so they get smarter about what are the right questions that need to be asked up front. And it's not just the question about, well, how much does a CPU cost, or how much do you cost per gig of storage? Those are the easy questions and the simple questions to answer. It's the back-end services and the infrastructure services that an application leverages that really become the more complicated, time-consuming questions.